Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Romance Program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got two stories coming up this hour, both from True Love magazine. The first one is called Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. Here's the story. I stood gazing down at the gorgeous diamond engagement ring sparkling on its black velvet cushion and decided to slip it on my finger. Utterly captivated by its shimmering facets, I moved my hand to catch the light. Suddenly, a voice startled me out of my reverie. "Miss, what do we have to do to get some service around here?" "Oh, I'm terribly sorry," I said, blushing hotly as I quickly pulled the ring off my finger and returned it carefully to its proper place in the display case. "What can I show you today?" "Well, isn't it obvious?" the woman proclaimed. "A bleached blonde with blood-red nails. We're looking for an engagement ring. She and her husband-to-be, a well-dressed businessman with a slight paunch, gave each other a dreamy look and kissed." "Well, you've come to the right place," I said, smiling through gritted teeth. "Here at Calway Jewelers, we have many lovely original designs." First, I shoved them some rings with mid-sized stones, but they kept gravitating toward the largest diamonds we had in stock. I pointed out that they should be concerned not just with the carat weight of the stone, but the cut, clarity, and color of the diamond as well. "Honestly, though, I don't think they heard a word I said." Finally, they chose a beautiful design with a good-sized, high-quality diamond in an emerald cut. As they left, they kissed again, a nauseating, slobbery pucker that had me turning away to roll my eyes. "Isn't love grand?" "Not," I thought to myself. Since Annabelle, the one other salesperson, was out sick, I was manning the counter alone. Several more romantic couples came in that afternoon, and by closing time, I had just about had it with all that lovey-dovey stuff. Did people in love have to be so disgustingly happy all the time? After the last customer left, I carefully cleaned the smudged glass counters and locked up the diamonds in the safe. Then I went home to Charlie, my dog. After I fixed dinner, dog food for him, of course, and a can of soup for me, we plopped down in front of the TV together. He happily curled up next to my feet on the couch. But wouldn't you know, the movie of the week was a romantic comedy where the two main characters are destined to be together forever. Quickly digging for the remote among the sofa cushions, I clicked off the TV. Then I idly picked up the local paper. Jason DeCurtis and Stacy Powell to wed, trumpeted a headline on the society page. I groaned. I'd known them both in high school, and it looked from their picture as if they were as disgustingly in love now as they were then. In fact, it seemed like almost everyone I knew was getting married these days, and many of my friends were starting to have kids, too. "Oh, well," I thought, "I still have Charlie." Yawning, I nudged him off the couch and headed for bed. The next morning, the alarm sounded like a jackhammer in my head. After fumbling to turn it off, I dragged myself out of bed and into the shower. Charlie snoozed happily in the warm spot I'd left. About an hour and two steaming cups of coffee later, I was taking the glittery jewels out of the safe and placing them on black velvet trays in the display cases. I loved this part of the day when everything was quiet and I was alone with the jewelry. After everything was in place, I took a moment to sneak a peek at my favorite ring, the one with the brilliant oval diamond and the two sapphires on either side. I sighed. Then I walked to the door and turned the store sign from closed to open. Of course, since Annabelle had a husband to get off to work and a morning power aerobics class, she always waltzed in to work an hour after I did, but she was early enough to snap up the first customers, who usually started to drift in a few minutes after we opened. As if it weren't hard enough having to compete with Annabelle for guys in high school, now I had to go up against her for commissions. And the former homecoming queen was some pretty stiff competition. Not only was she gorgeous, but she was married to her high school sweetheart, Wes, the former football star. And unlike yours truly, Annabelle knew all there was to know about love. After all, she was madly in love with Wes. Not only had he given her a blinding rock the size of a doorknob for their engagement, but he'd also surprised her with a diamond anniversary band for their fifth anniversary and diamond stud earrings this past Christmas. Yes, Annabelle's diamonds definitely made her the expert on romance, and she certainly used it to her advantage. Whenever she saw a pair of hapless, love-struck victims walking into the store, she would practically drool in anticipation. "Oh, I can tell you two are in love," she'd purr. To the woman, she'd exclaim, "You look so beautiful, honey. You're glowing." And to the man, she'd usually say, "You look a little nervous, just like my Wes did when he went to buy my ring. Just relax, sweetie. I'm sure she'll be as happy with her ring as I am with mine." Then Annabelle would wave her left hand around to make sure they didn't miss it. And then, as if that weren't enough, she'd trot out the wedding photos of her and Prince Charming, the ones where they stood gazing lovingly into each other's eyes under a bower of roses. It was a foolproof formula for closing a sale. Of course, since Annabelle's ring was so big and expensive, the guys always felt compelled to measure up to Wes and his declaration of love. And after all her chatting and bonding with the bride, Annabelle would usually end up not only making a big sale, but even getting invited to the wedding. Once she was even a customer's bridesmaid. Meanwhile, I hung back, relegated to wiping counters and making sure the displays were just so. Who even noticed that I actually knew much more about diamonds than Annabelle did? After all, she was the authority on love. Anyway, I didn't have too much time to steam about Annabelle's sales figures that morning because we were exceptionally busy. I really couldn't figure it out because Christmas was long past and it wasn't anywhere near Valentine's Day, and those were really the only times when the store got this busy. Annabelle barely had time to reapply a thick coat of lipstick and fluff her hair a little before the customers started pouring in. First, a handsome, affluent-looking man and a woman appeared at the door, and I pressed a button behind the counter to let them in. Right behind them was a man by himself, wearing jeans and a well-worn leather jacket. The couple walked over to the counter, hand in hand. They were closer to my end than to Annabelle's, and I was just opening my mouth to welcome them when Annabelle pushed me aside and exclaimed, "Hello, lovebirds. How can I help you today?" Her smile was almost as dazzling as a diamond. That left the grungy-looking guy to me. I sighed but put on a smile. "Can I help you, sir? I asked him as he approached the counter. "Why, yes," he said. "I'm interested in looking at engagement rings for the woman I plan to marry, but..." He paused and lowered his voice. "I am on a bit of a budget." "I see." I nodded understandingly. "Well, we have diamond rings in all price ranges," I reassured him, "and flexible payment plans as well." I brought out a tray of the store's more simple rings. "This, for instance, is a beautiful stone," I said, holding up a ring. "It's very high quality, but at half a carat, it won't break the bank." He looked at it and sighed. "Well, it is a little on the puny side. Are you sure she'll like it?" "Yes," I said firmly. "It's an exquisite stone. Besides, any woman who's really in love cares more about the man she's going to marry than the ring he's going to give her." My comment was loud enough to draw an alarmed glance from Annabelle. I couldn't help but feel a little pleased. Far be it from Annabelle, to disassociate the depth of one's love from the depth of one's pockets. "I see," my customer said thoughtfully. "Well, let me think it over. I'll be back," he said, gazing at me intently. I met his gaze briefly and then looked away. I hadn't noticed when he walked in, but he did have rather dazzling blue eyes. Then, seeming not to notice that I was a little distracted, he smiled and waved goodbye as he ambled out of the store. "No sale, huh?" I could tell the moment he walked in. "What a loser," Annabelle whispered in my ear as he left. Her couple had ended up buying a large rock, of course, but I wasn't surprised to notice that the man had looked a little green around the gills as he'd handed Annabelle his credit card. The next day was kind of slow at work, so I wandered across the street on my lunch break, picked up a hot dog and a soda, and ate lunch in the park. Of course, since it was a sunny day, the park was filled with couples who had stolen away from their jobs to spend a precious hour together. They were sprawled on the grass, sitting cozily on benches, or strolling arm in arm. Everywhere I looked, I saw people who were utterly, totally smitten. It was enough to make a girl lose her appetite, but then, as I sat on a bench munching my hot dog, I was joined by a very attractive guy in a suit, with jet black hair and wine-rimmed glasses. "Excuse me, is this seat taken?" he asked me with a smile. I shook my head, my mouth full of hot dog. Then seconds later, he was joined by a stunning redhead wearing a designer dress. As they kissed, I moved over to make room. "Thanks," the redhead said sweetly. Dejected, I wadded up my trash and trudged back to the jewelry store. When I got back, I found one of my favorite customers waiting for me. Effie, a sweet senior citizen with ramrod posture and an impeccably groomed hairdo, was quite vain about her appearance and always liked to look her best. She loved jewelry and came in every once in a while to add to her collection. Today she was shopping for a pearl brooch. Of course, she had to take her time and carefully inspect every piece I showed her. While I was patiently taking brooches in and out of the case for her, my scruffy-looking customer from the day before showed up. Today, he looked even more down at the heels, in a faded denim jacket and an old t-shirt. For once, Annabelle wasn't occupied with one of her madly in love couples, so I assumed she would help him. But she had suddenly gotten on the phone to make a call. Evidently, she was trying to reach her husband, but she got his voicemail, so she left a sappy message, blowing kisses into the receiver. Then she stopped to put on lipstick. Meanwhile, the man looked as if he were about to leave. "Annabelle," I whispered, "can you help him?" I tilted my head toward the customer who was shifting his weight from foot to foot. Looking annoyed, Annabelle went over to him. "What can I do for you today, sir?" she asked in a bored tone of voice. I'm kind of looking at engagement rings." "They're here," she said, cutting him off and pointing vaguely to the display case. "Let me know if there's anything in particular that you want me to get out." Annabelle stalked off to the other end of the counter. The shabby-looking guy looked at the rings awkwardly, his hands shoved in his pockets. Meanwhile, Effie had finally settled on the brooch she wanted. Ringing up the sale for her, I thanked her and watched her step regally toward the door. "See you soon, honey. Say hi to that adorable Charlie of yours," she called over her shoulder. Effie had a dog, too, and we liked to exchange stories about our pets. "I will, Effie. You take care," I called back. Then I turned to help my customer from the day before. "How are you today, sir?" I asked him. Just then, Annabelle finished combing her hair and came over. "Anything in particular you'd like to see?" she asked, her voice seriously lacking enthusiasm. "Well, actually, this lady here helped me yesterday, so she kind of knows what I'm looking for." "Okay, Meredith, he's all yours," Annabelle said dryly. "So you're Meredith," the man said with a smile. "Yes," I said, "and you are?" He seemed to hesitate. Jerry, he said finally. Then he blurted out, "This Charlie of yours sounds pretty terrific." "Oh, he is," I said, grinning. "How long have you been together?" Jerry asked. "Let's see, about 8 years, I think," I said. I realized I was enjoying leading him on. "Oh," he said, looking down at the floor, "that's great." "Yes," I said. "I had a bit of trouble training him in the beginning, but now he's very well behaved," I told him with mock seriousness. "Good," Jerry said, looking a little puzzled. "Well, I guess all men need to be trained." "Charlie can even catch a ball in his mouth," I said proudly. "Oh," he said, grinning. "Is Charlie a dog? Golden retriever and lab mix. What did you think he was?" I asked with an innocent smile. "Oh, well," he fumbled a bit. "Actually, I thought he might be a cat. Seems like little old ladies are often crazy for cats." "Are you calling me a little old lady?" I teased. "No, no, of course not," Jerry said. "I mean the lady you were waiting on, who seemed so crazy about Charlie." We both laughed. Then I said, "Well, let's skip back to the quest for the perfect engagement ring." "Right," he said. "So here is where we left off last time," I said, unlocking the case and getting out the traditional ring we discussed the previous day. "It's nice, but..." Jerry scratched his head. "Well," I said, "maybe if I knew a little more about your fiancé, it would help me pick out something that really suited to her. Let's see, she's kind, modest, charming, beautiful, and brilliant," he said with enthusiasm. "And does she have a sparkling personality?" I asked, playing along. "Of course," he exclaimed. We laughed for a minute, and then I searched the case further, hoping to find just the right piece. "This one has quite a unique design," I told him, displaying the ring to its best advantage against a black velvet drape. "It's an emerald-cut diamond set between two smaller stones. It's a little more expensive than the rings I showed you before, but definitely worth every penny." Jerry held the ring up and studied it closely. "Very nice," he said, but I'm not sure it's the one. Any other suggestions? I returned the ring to the case and started getting out others. 40 minutes went by and Jerry was still looking at rings. Meanwhile, Annabelle kept busy with the usual stream of romantic couples innocently walking into her clutches. Feeling a bit depressed over all the commissions I was losing to her, I finally said, "Maybe you should bring your fiancé in, Jerry. That way you can be sure of picking something she'll absolutely love." Jerry straightened up and put down the ring he'd been studying. "No, I want this to be a surprise," he insisted. "But I have an idea that could make this easier. Why don't you show me the ring that you'd want your boyfriend to give to you?" "Well, I don't have a boyfriend," I said. "You don't? A beautiful girl like you?" Oh, Meredith's going to be an old maid," Annabelle said cheerily as she squeezed past me to retrieve some earrings from a display case. I fumed in silence. Could Annabelle be any less professional? "Anyway," Jerry continued, "if you did have a boyfriend, which of these would be the engagement ring of your dreams?" "Oh, I don't know," I demurred, my eyes flickering over the sparkling jewels. I didn't want to pick my true favorite because I knew it was probably way out of Jerry's price range. "This one is very pretty," I finally said, pointing out a heart-shaped diamond in a white gold setting. "Come on," Jerry said. "You're a very bad liar. Which one really makes your heart race?" Finally, I gave in. I unlocked the case that held the diamond ring I'd admired ever since I'd come to work at Cowway Jewelers and had never encouraged anyone to buy. "Try it on, Meredith," Jerry urged. The brilliant round diamond flashed like fire, and the sapphires surrounding it looked like pools of deepest midnight. I gazed at it longingly, forgetting myself for a moment. Then I snapped back to attention when I heard Jerry say, Well, that is something else, and that's the one I'm going to get for my fiancé, but I'm going to have to do a little saving up first." My heart sank. Now I'd never make a sale. Jerry was too proud to admit that he couldn't afford this ring and settle on one that was more reasonable. I'd seen this happen before. He was just going to vanish, never to be seen again. "Well, thanks for all your help, Meredith," Jerry said, interrupting my thoughts. "Don't sell that diamond ring to anyone else. I'll be back." "Good riddance," Annabelle hissed when the door shut behind him. "Next time that grungy loser comes in, I think we should call the cops. That'll scare him off. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's casing the joint, planning a robbery." "You think so?" I said reluctantly, slipping the twinkling ring off my finger and storing it safely back in the case. "He seems like a decent guy." "I don't think so," Annabelle said, shaking her head. "He wanted to get you to show him that ring so he'd know which one was the most expensive and which one to steal first when he breaks in." A couple of weeks later, it was raining and I was staring out the window, half listening to Annabelle lay the charm on a young couple as she put their ring in a black velvet box. "See you in June," she said. "I wouldn't miss your wedding for the world. My brides all say it's good luck if I come." As the couple moved toward the door, making goo-goo eyes at each other the whole way, a man entered and walked past them. He was impeccably groomed and dressed in an expensive designer suit. You could practically see the dollar signs in Annabelle's eyes. "Hello, sir. How may I help you?" she cooed in her sexiest voice. Well, I was wondering if this young lady could help me, he said politely, inclining his head toward me. Actually, it's my turn to take a customer, Annabelle butted in, which was a bold-faced lie. She came out and stood right next to me. I turned red with anger as the man's eyes met mine. Could you show me some engagement rings? He asked me, ignoring Annabelle. Defeated, she tossed her head and retreated to the other end of the counter. The customer put his hands on the counter and peered inside the glass. When his crisply starched cuffs rode up a bit, I noticed he was wearing a very expensive watch. I think I'd like to see this piece, he said, pointing to my favorite ring. I hesitated. That's a beautiful selection, but another customer has already expressed an interest in it. He stood up straight. When I'm interested in buying something, I can decide on the spot, he said emphatically. Why don't you try it on for me? I'd like to see how it looks on a woman's hand. Well, I hesitated, trying to figure out a way to stall him. Annabelle hurried over again. Why don't I model it for you, sir? My fingers are more slender, and they'll set the ring off better. No, you try it on, he said, looking right at me. I slipped on the ring. It was rough wearing it, knowing I was probably helping make sure I never got to try it on again. Beautiful, he said. He grabbed my hand to turn it in the light and held on a little longer than I thought he would. Then he reached into his wallet for his credit card. I'll take it, he said. As I stood by the credit card machine processing the transaction, I looked down at the card. Gerald Callaway. How strange. His last name was the same as the name of the jewelry store. Then I looked up into his eyes, and they looked suspiciously familiar. I gasped. It was Jerry. He'd cut his hair and was wearing a suit he definitely couldn't afford. Thoughts began to swirl around in my mind. Was Jerry a criminal like Annabelle suspected? Had he robbed a bank to pay for all those new clothes? Was he going to pull a gun on us or run some kind of scam? Jerry must have seen the shock in my eyes. Let me properly introduce myself, he said. I'm Gerald Callaway, the owner of Callaway Jewelers. I gasped. This was my boss. My mouth dropped open. But why did you come in dressed like a bum? He asked softly. Well, not like a bum, I said. I didn't mean that. My voice trailed off. Let me explain, he said. For the past couple of months, I've been conducting a little experiment in several of my stores. I dress like that to see how I'll be treated if no one knows I'm the owner or even thinks I'm affluent enough to afford expensive jewelry. But why? Annabelle chimed in. While pretending to rearrange the display case, she'd been listening intently. Because, Jerry continued, appearances can be deceiving. Millionaire rock stars or mega-rich computer tycoons often dress very modestly, but can be some of our best customers. And even customers who can't afford something expensive will remember they've been treated well and come back. But Jerry, I'm sorry. I mean, Mr. Callaway, I stammered. Don't look so worried, Meredith. You passed the test. You gave me excellent service, unlike some other employees, he said, pointedly glancing over at Annabelle, who turned a deep bridesmaid's dress shade of pink. Well, now that I've explained, I'd like to finish the transaction, he said, gesturing toward the ring. But do you really need it? I asked. Are you getting married? "I may be," he said quietly. "Besides, you've been such a good employee, I want you to have the commission." I didn't want to tell him that he could keep the commission. I'd rather he left that stunning ring right in the case where I could dream about it all day long. But I finished ringing up the sale and wrapped up his ring. Jerry turned to leave, but then he turned around and asked, "Meredith, would you like to go out to lunch with me?" "Well, lunch isn't for another half hour," I said. "That's okay. The boss says you can go," he said. How could I argue with that? Together, Jerry and I walked over to the park. We ordered 2 hot dogs from the stand near the park, and then we sat down on a bench to eat. "Meredith," Jerry said, "I'd like to promote you to store manager. Not only are you very knowledgeable about precious stones, but you also have a real knack for dealing with people." "Well, thank you, Mr. Calway," I said, blushing. "But what about Annabelle?" "I have half a mind to fire her," he said. "Oh, please don't be too hard on her," I said. "She's actually a fantastic salesperson, and I think she learned her lesson." "I'll think about it," he said. "Maybe I'll just put her on probation. Checking up on her will give me an excuse to come in and see you." "Just don't dress up as someone I can't recognize," I said, laughing. 11 months to the day later, Jerry took me to the same spot in the park. Getting down on one knee, he pulled a little black velvet box out of his pocket. Inside was that perfect, breathtaking diamond and sapphire ring I dreamed of wearing for so long. As Jerry slipped it on my finger, he pulled me close and gave me a long, passionate kiss. I shivered, dizzy with happiness. Together, we walked over to the store. "Oh, you two look just as happy as Wes and I did when we got engaged," Annabelle squealed when she saw us. "Can I interest you in some sapphire earrings to go with that gorgeous ring?" I passed on the earrings, even though Jerry wanted to get them for me. But we did invite Annabelle to the wedding. After all, she does have a reputation for being a good luck charm. Okay, that's the end of my first story. I so enjoyed that story. I hope you did too. If you tuned in late, this is the Romance Program with volunteer Jeannie Oast for Sun Sounds. And now for my second story for this hour, also from True Love Magazine. This one's called "I Like Quickie Sex in Public." Here's the story. Turn the page and I'll tell you all about the newfound kinky kicks that keep the sex in my marriage red hot and sinfully fantastic. So I guess that's just kind of a little subtitle there. And here is the story. I stopped in my tracks when I saw my husband, Andrew, sitting at the table inside the restaurant. He was supposed to be at work, but there he was instead. He had his arm draped around a beautiful, dark-haired woman, and he was whispering something in her ear. Whatever Andrew said to her must have been funny, because a moment later they laughed in unison. "Say, isn't that Andrew?" my best friend Crystal asked. She was squinting to get a better look. I didn't need a better look. I could see him clearly, too clearly. I felt as though all of the blood had suddenly left my head. My husband was with another woman. "My God," I thought to myself in shock. I hadn't even suspected it. Yet there he was, right in front of me. "I have to go." Before I'd even said the last word, I had already turned to leave. I just couldn't get out of there fast enough. "Wait a minute, Deidre." Crystal caught up with me and latched onto my arm. "Are you just going to let him get away with that?" she asked in total dismay. I glanced back at Andrew. He was sitting so close to the woman that she was practically in his lap. They were looking at each other in the way that lovers do. "I can't talk to him yet," I managed to say. Crystal folded her arms over her chest and shook her head. "So the jerk gets away with fooling around right under your nose?" It took me several moments just to catch my breath. When I finally had, I pulled Crystal back into the waiting area so Andrew couldn't see us. I couldn't face him. My head was still reeling from the shock. "Do you know who that woman is?" Crystal asked me. "No, should I?" I retorted. "She works at the store with Andrew." Now I remembered her. Andrew was the manager of the electronics department in a large department store, and this woman was a clerk in one of the other departments. And now my husband was seeing her and probably having an affair with her as well. "Oh my God," I whispered. Crystal had me sit down on a bench. "You look like you're ready to faint." I felt as though I might faint. Thankfully, there weren't any other customers waiting to be seated, so we had the whole area to ourselves. Even the hostess stepped inside the restaurant to leave us alone. "That jerk! Oh, that moron! He's pond scum, Deidre. Pure pond scum," Crystal ranted. "And here he told you he had to work late. He's definitely worse than pond scum." I nodded with each name that Crystal called him. If Andrew's really having an affair, but I couldn't finish what I was saying. I couldn't get the words out. "That woman he's with sleeps around, Deidre. If he's with her..." Crystal didn't finish either. I started to cry, and she put her arm around me. "Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I really need to get out of here," I told her. I didn't want anyone, especially Andrew, to see me this torn apart. It was muggy outside, typical Baltimore weather. The air smelled like spices from the nearby eateries and coffee from the little shops. Normally, I would have taken a moment to enjoy the aroma, but not that night. That night, I hurried to my car, searching for answers. "So what will you do?" Crystal asked. "Will you confront Andrew when he gets home?" I honestly didn't know. I wasn't sure of anything anymore. All I wanted to do was go home and cry. I brushed the tears off my cheek. I just can't believe he'd do this to me, to us. There weren't even any signs. Or were there? Was there something that I'd missed? Until I'd walked into that restaurant and saw him with that woman, I thought that we had a good marriage. Certainly not perfect, but then what marriage was perfect? It seemed, though, that all was wrong. My marriage wasn't just imperfect. It had obviously fallen apart, and I hadn't even seen it coming. "God, here he comes," Crystal said just then in a venomous tone. I immediately glanced around the parking lot and saw Andrew walking right toward us. He was wearing his usual work clothes, black dress slacks, and a white shirt. I'd always thought that he was so handsome with his gorgeous hair and beautiful eyes. He didn't look handsome that night, though, but of course I was seeing him through tear-clouded eyes. Right then, he looked like a liar and a cheat to me. "I'm leaving," I said to Crystal. I tried to get into the car before Andrew could reach us, but I didn't make it in time. "Deidre," Andrew called out, but he didn't add anything to it for several long moments. He just stood there, staring at Crystal and me. "You saw me in there," he said, finally. Since it wasn't a question, I didn't answer him. With Crystal standing as a shield between us, I got into the car, fully intending to drive away. Andrew stopped me by reaching around Crystal and catching the car door so that I couldn't shut it. "You can't leave," he said, "not until I explain things." He looked at Crystal. "I want to talk to her alone," he told her. "Oh, yeah?" Crystal asked rudely. "Well, I'd like a date with Brad Pitt, but I don't think he'll be calling me anytime soon." I knew this would get out of hand if I didn't do something. Crystal and I had been friends since we were in the first grade, and she'd always been protective of me. I was actually afraid that Crystal might hit Andrew. Part of me would have enjoyed seeing her do that, but this was one battle that I couldn't let Crystal fight for me. This was my fight. "Crystal, it's all right," I assured her. "You can go. I want to talk to Andrew." She made a sound to indicate that she didn't agree, but she didn't argue. Instead, she hugged me and whispered, "Call me as soon as you can." Her voice wasn't as soft and comforting when she turned back to Andrew. "You'd better not hurt her any more than you already have." Andrew stayed silent until Crystal made it to her car and drove away. Then he turned to me. "Jade means nothing to me. I want you to know that." "Jade, that's her name?" I tried to keep my voice level, but I wasn't very successful. "How long has this been going on?" I demanded. Andrew raked his hand through his hair. "Nothing has been going on." I gripped the steering wheel so hard that my hands started to ache. "I saw you in there with her, Andrew. You had your arm around her. You were laughing. And that's all we were doing," he interrupted. "I don't believe you." I tried to shut the car door again, but Andrew stopped me. He leaned down so that we were eye to eye and much closer than I wanted to be at that particular moment. "Well, you should, Deidre, because it's the truth." The hurt I'd felt was quickly being replaced by anger. My voice got louder with each and every word. "You lied to me. You said you had to work late. What a bald-faced lie. If Crystal hadn't talked me into coming out to eat with her tonight, I might never have known that you're cheating on me." Anger flared through Andrew's eyes, too. He jerked open the door, caught onto my shoulders, and pulled me out of the car. "Nothing happened between Jade and me except a little flirting," he insisted. "It didn't look like flirting to me," I yelled. "It looked like cheating." The anger left me so quickly as it had come, and I felt utterly exhausted. I practically went limp. "Get away from the car. I just want to leave." "Not until I make you understand." "Understand what?" I asked. "That our marriage is over?" "It's not over." Andrew didn't yell, but his voice dropped to a hoarse whisper. I could see the raw emotion in his face, and I was sure that it mirrored mine. "It's just been a little dull lately." I felt as though he'd slapped me. "Dull? How can you possibly say that our marriage is dull?" But the moment I said it, I knew that it was true. Our marriage had been exactly that. We'd somehow fallen into a routine of going to work, coming home, eating and falling asleep while watching television. Of course, we'd been married for nearly 3 years, so I had accepted that some of the passion would fade. But now that I thought about it, most of the passion had faded. I honestly couldn't even remember the last time we'd made love. "I'm sorry," Andrew said softly. He cursed under his breath and leaned against the car. "This isn't your fault. None of this is your fault. It's mine. Jade asked me to wait at the restaurant with her until her friends showed up, and yes, we laughed and flirted with each other, but that's all. The way he said it made me believe him, but it didn't erase everything I was feeling. Tonight it had been flirting, but how soon would it be before Andrew went beyond that? How soon before he ended up in bed with another woman? Would I lose him to someone else because our marriage was dull? The only thing I was certain of at that moment was that I didn't want to lose him. I knew that I loved him and wanted our marriage to work. But how? I just didn't know. I'm going to spend the night at Crystal's apartment, I told him. I could tell from the expression on his face that that didn't please him. And what about us? I don't know. I need some time to think about everything. I quickly started the car. I'll call you tomorrow. Don't ruin what we've got because of this, Andrew called out as I was driving away. But I was afraid things were already ruined between us. I was afraid I'd lost the only man I had ever loved. The following morning, Crystal handed me a cup of coffee and sat down at her kitchen table across from me. Did you figure out what you're going to do? She asked intently. No. I wearily pushed my hair off of my forehead. I'd probably slept just a few hours at most, and now my head was throbbing. I'd hoped that maybe the coffee would help, but I wasn't counting on it. After thinking about my situation all night long, I still didn't know what I would do about my marriage. Crystal had a sip of her own coffee. I guess I have to ask you how you feel about Andrew. Do you still want to make a go of it? That was easy. I love him. I've loved him since we were in high school, and I knew in my heart that I'd never love anyone else. Crystal took a deep breath. All right, then. You've got to figure out a way to hang on to him. Andrew's a hunk, and there's always going to be women like Jade who'll try to get him into bed. Andrew said that nothing happened between them, and I believe him, but he also said that our marriage is dull. Even hours later, that word, dull, stung. Well, that gives us something to work with. Dull, huh? Crystal drummed her fingers on the table. How about you do something that's the exact opposite of dull? What if you do something that'll knock his socks off? What do you mean? I asked. Cautiously, Crystal could have wild ideas at times. She leaned closer, a wide grin on her mouth. I think that you should give him a night of hot sex, and not just the usual hot sex either. I'm talking about something exciting and maybe a little dangerous. You have to do something that Andrew would never expect from you. I stared at Crystal. For example, take him parking somewhere. Have sex and make it crazy and wild. Make it something you usually wouldn't do. That covered a lot of territory. Lately, when we'd made love, it had been in bed, and it wasn't anywhere close to being crazy and wild. I was about to ask Crystal for more suggestions when the phone rang. Crystal answered it and looked back at me. It's Andrew, she whispered. Why don't you put our plan into action? I wasn't sure that I could, but the thought of losing him gave me the courage that I needed to turn the plan into reality. I took the phone from Crystal and brought it to my ear. Andrew, I said simply, Deidre, I want you to come home. I'm sorry about what happened last night. He sounded genuinely sorry, and it nearly brought tears to my eyes. I glanced at the clock. Andrew and I both had to be at work in only an hour. I'll pick you up after work. Maybe we can go somewhere and talk. Yes, he said quickly. I'd like that. I'll see you then, Deidre. Still feeling more than a little uncertain, I hung up and turned back to Crystal. Now, give me some ideas about what to do. After we'd talked for a while, I was no longer shaky. I knew exactly what I had to do. That evening, I went home and changed before going to pick up Andrew. It had been raining all afternoon, and that gave me the perfect idea about what to wear for my hot date with my husband. I stripped and put on only a sexy negligee, a pair of heels, and a shiny raincoat. I put on my makeup and fixed my hair, spending the extra time to make myself look nice and perhaps just a bit naughty. When I drove to the store after work, I waited for Andrew in the parking lot. I didn't want to go inside wearing something so skimpy, and I also didn't want to risk the possibility of running into Jade. Andrew must have been watching for me, though, because I just parked when he hurried outside. He smiled at me when he got into the passenger's seat and leaned over to kiss my cheek. The scent of the rain was on him, and he smelled wonderful. He looked wonderful, too, but then Andrew always did. When we'd first started dating, I'd always thought that he looked like one of those guys in a pinup calendar. He hadn't changed at all. He was still sexy, and I got aroused just looking at him. "Where are we going?" he asked as I started to drive out of the lot. "I thought we could go to the lake. That way we can sit and talk without worrying about the phone ringing or someone interrupting us." "Sounds good," he said in agreement. I hoped that he would think it was better than good when I got through with him. The idea of sitting next to him while I was practically naked was a huge turn-on for me. I thought maybe he'd feel the same way soon. We talked some on the drive, and Andrew told me again how sorry he was. I was sorry, too. Sorry that I'd forgotten that I needed to work at keeping my marriage exciting. After all, this was the man I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. He was worth the extra effort. I parked the car in a scheduled spot at the lake. I figured with the rain, we'd have the entire place to ourselves. At least that's what I was counting on. I didn't say anything to him. I leaned in close and kissed the spot just below his ear. I felt him stiffen in surprise, but then his arms closed around me. Since I didn't want him calling the shots, I took his hands and linked them with mine. Gently easing my mouth from his ear, I let my breath touch his skin until I made my way to his mouth. Then I began to kiss him. It was wild and hungry, and I hoped that I was letting him know that this was just for starters. "I like the way you, talk," Andrew said, sounding a little out of breath. He laughed softly and tried to free his hands, but I kept them in a firm grip. Kissing him again, I eased myself onto his lap until I was straddling him. Andrew mumbled something, a honeyed mixture of love and sexy, dirty talk. I let go of one of his hands so I could loosen the belt on my raincoat. I let the sides open so that he could see what I was wearing, or rather what I wasn't wearing. He looked down at my luscious body and cursed a rich, masculine sound of pleasure. "Please tell me this isn't a dream." "No dream," I assured him. I undid the buttons on his shirt and ran my fingers through his chest hair. Andrew returned the favor and touched me, too, but he didn't just touch my neck and my breasts. He kissed and tasted until we were both close to getting insane with arousal. We didn't move to the back seat as I planned. In fact, the plan went out the window when Andrew took his clever caresses lower to my stomach and then even lower. Here I was supposed to be seducing him, but I was the one being seduced. But in the end, we'd finally made love. We could both say that we'd been seduced and had enjoyed every wild, hot minute of it. Andrew held me close to him. This was like living out a fantasy, being here like this with you. I knew exactly how he felt. My body was still pulsing from our lovemaking. Then we'll have to do it again, soon. This is the way it should always be between us. You're right. Maybe I can come up with the next fantasy. Now I was the one smiling. What did you have in mind? Andrew toyed with the collar of my raincoat. How about Friday night after work? You show up wearing only this and a smile. I'll take things from there. And I was sure he'd take me exactly where I wanted to go. I love you, Andrew, I whispered. He kissed me. And I love you too, always. Okay, that's the end of that story, and this is going to do it for this edition of the Romance Program. This has been Volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. Have a wonderful week. Take care of yourselves, and I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.